These have been some amazing moments in the history and the life of our church over the last several weeks. And God is just doing some miraculous work. And I'm so thankful that you are with us this morning. Turn with me, if you will, Acts chapter 3. We're in a new message series on the book of Acts. And Acts was written by a guy named Luke. Luke was a physician, and he wrote the book of Acts kind of to be able to walk through for each of us what happened in people's lives when they personally encountered Jesus Christ. And so he just didn't want to take somebody's word on it. And so he decided himself what he was going to do was start interviewing all these different types of people that had had a face-to-face encounter with Jesus Christ. All these people whose lives have been transformed through Jesus Christ. And so what he creates in Acts is kind of a best of compilation CD of what God did in people's lives. How many of y'all have ever bought a best of for an artist you like right there? You got all their other stuff, but then you got to get the best of. You got to get the best of, because it's the best of the best of the best of the best is what it is, isn't it? And in fact, I know. I can read the crowd right here. We have some people that bought best of Metallica. I can see it right there. I can see your faces right there. How many of y'all do a little best of Metallica? Okay, I can see. We'll date ourselves, but I can see that right there. Okay, and how many of y'all? Let me think right here. Little best of NSYNC or Backstreet Boys. Is that what I'm sensing right there? Hey, listen. With all the babies we've been having at Christ Fellowship, I know some of y'all have been buying best of Marvin Gaye. Do I have a witness right there? Yeah, I know that. I know that's right. I know you've been hitting the Marvin Gaye hits for sure. Yeah. Listen, if you need some help, Marvin Gaye's your friend. He is your friend. So Acts chapter 3 gives one of those best of stories, is what it does. And in Acts chapter 3, there's a man, and he's desperate for healing in his life. He's desperate because he's gone through sorrow. He's gone through sickness. He's been paralyzed since he was just a baby, in fact. He's been paralyzed all his life. And the Bible says about this man that he was actually placed at a gate at the very front of the temple. And everybody would pass by this guy. He was a fixture there. And everybody would pass by him, and everybody would see him. And everybody would go, oh, there's the guy. And you know how it is when you pass by people over and over and over again, you kind of get used to them. And when you pass by somebody that's indigent like that, that's always asking for money, you never lock eyes. You never lock eyes on them because it's too embarrassing. It's too touchy. It's too intimate of a moment to lock eyes on somebody with such needs. And how it was all his life until this moment right here. I mean, people would just toss him a coin. People would just toss him something. And this guy had gone through difficulty and had gone through sorrow. And this morning, I want us to learn together on how to get healed when you're hurt. Because all of us are going to go through or have gone through sickness. All of us have gone through some kind of sorrow in our lives. And what our go-to many times is when we go through sickness, when we go through sorrow, our go-to is always happiness. We always have to do something that makes us happy. We have to do it real quick. Because the sorrow, when it sinks in, it's too deep. When the sickness sinks in, it's too difficult for us to be able to handle. And so our go-to always when we're in pain is pleasure. Our go-to is happiness. And happiness is based on happenings. It's temporary. And in fact, all happiness does, if it's your goal, is it leaves you miserable because it leaves you and I unfulfilled. And in Acts chapter 3, verse 1, I want you to see for yourself, because this guy experiences something actually he's never experienced before in his entire life. And in Acts chapter 3, verse 1, I want you to see right here, it says, now Peter and John were going to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried. That's the man we've just been talking about, whom they lay daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate to ask alms of those entering the temple. And seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms.
Now this crippled man, I want you to
see for yourself. He wasn't homeless, but every single day, every single moment, some kind of family or friend would do this for him. Every single day, some kind of family or friend would take him and would literally pick him up, would carry him about 300 steps all the way up to the top of the temple. Can you imagine? You're carrying a 150, 180-pound man all the way up to the top of the temple. And then when you get him to the top of the temple, you know what happens? Then later that day, you have to go back, you have to grab him, you have to pick him up, and you have to walk and you have to hoist him all the way back down. You can imagine, can't you imagine the embarrassment of that guy thinking to himself every single day, I have to endure as an invalid, somebody picking me up and somebody taking me there, and I can't even make my own way in life, and somebody then picks me up and takes me back. So every single day, this guy endured the embarrassment, the difficulty. Every single day, this guy that was sick and he was sorrowful came to a point in his life where he was going, listen, there has to be something better than this. There has to be something more. There has to be something bigger and better than enduring sickness and enduring sorrow like this. And that's how sickness and sorrow is. But when happiness does not work for us, and sickness and sorrow seeps into our lives, when we get into despair, we get into depression. And so we notice in the scriptures right here, you've seen it yourself. This guy doesn't even, I mean, he needs the money, but he does not even lock eyes. He does not even lock eyes with the people that could give him the resources. He's that depressed. He's that down. He's that difficult. And so it goes in Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Peter and John are going to the temple, the hour of prayer. And this man that was from birth, and he says, seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple, he asked to receive alms. And in verse 4, and Peter directed his gaze and said, John. And the guy wouldn't look at him because it's the same song and dance. Either you're going to give me the money, or you're not going to give me the money. And so they say, look at us. Notice verse 4, they say, look at us. And the man fixes attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. And then they say, listen. In verse 6, he says, I don't have silver and I don't have gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he says, rise up and walk. And this guy's in shock by now. And in verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and his ankles were made strong. You see, this man did not need a better version of his life than he had had in the past. This man did not need a life do-over. This man needed a brand new direction. And listen, if you're trying to help somebody in healing this morning, if you're trying to help somebody that's sick or sorrowful, if you've gone through sickness and sorrow in your own life recently, listen, you don't need a better version of who you are. You need a life do-over. And so if you're going to help somebody, don't tell them what life is like. Tell them what life could be like. Because when it's all said and done, you can tell people who they are and what they are, or you can tell people what they could be like. And Peter and John, they decided, listen, this guy knows he's in the midst of the sorrow and the sickness of his life. He doesn't need a reminder that he needs a whole new life transformation. And they told him, listen, we can see your past and what you've settled for, but money's not going to be able to fix that. We can see your life and the sorrow and what it's done to your life, but money's not going to fix that. They said, in the name of Jesus, they said, get up, rise up. And immediately the man had strength in his feet and his ankles, and the man got healed in the name of Jesus. Notice verse 8, and leaping up, he stood up and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Listen, if you want, you can be a victim for the rest of your life with that sickness. You can be a victim for the rest of your life with that sorrow. You can take that financial catastrophe. You can take that divorce. You can take that betrayal. And if you want to, you can create a monument to it. And you can glance back at that monument every single day of your life for the rest of your life if you want to. And it will get larger and larger and larger because the focus of your life, the attention of your life, the praise of your life, the focus of your life is always on this moment. It's always on that experience. It's always on that period of time in your life. But that's not who you are. That's not what God's called you to be. And so Peter and John said, listen, if you want to settle for a better version of your life, you may need to go elsewhere, because when it's all said and done, he says, listen, silver and gold I do not have, but in the name of Jesus, not just any healing, but the name of Jesus. Listen, there are some healings that no amount of anything will be able to ever transform your life. It is only Jesus that will be able to heal you. Do you agree? It's only Jesus. And so they said, listen, this is not how life is, but it's how life could be. And they said, get up and walk. And the man by faith stands up and he leaps up. And in verse 8, he starts leaping and praising God. Listen, I think it's interesting he starts praising God, don't you? Because without gratitude, it is impossible to get healed. If you have a sorrow, if you have a sickness that is deep into your life, and you do not ask God, God, this is what my life has been, but God, what do you want my life to be? And God, I want to thank you for what you're making my life to be. God, I want to praise you for the people you've placed in my life. God, I want to praise you already for what you're doing. God, I don't like it. I don't understand it. But God, I want to praise you in the middle of it. And so when my mom passed away, I praised God in the middle of it. When my brother passed away, when he was all too young in his 20s, I didn't understand it. I didn't like it, but I praised God in the middle of it because I said, God, you have something greater. When Heather and I lost a little baby girl, I said, God, I don't understand it. I don't feel like praising you, but God, I know there's something greater that I don't quite comprehend or understand in the middle of this. And God, I want to thank you for this sorrow. God, I want to thank you for the sickness. God, I want to praise you for what you're doing in my life. Think for a second about the person that irritates you the most. Now just think about that for a second. Think about the person that irritates you the most. I don't look at them, just think about them. Just think about them. Can't you imagine that they need your prayers? Can't you imagine that they need to see, in spite of their irritation for you and on you, somebody that is praising God in spite of the problems, in spite of the circumstances, somebody that says, listen, my life is not controlled by them. My life is controlled by Jesus. You will not be the answer to my healing. You will not be the source of my peace. Jesus Christ, in spite of the pain you've caused me, will be the source of my peace. And so that's what this guy finally comes to. I mean, listen, if they just healed him, if they said, hey, get up, walk. But they didn't do it in the name of Jesus, and this guy would have gotten up and walked, and he would have just been a better version of what he already was. Somebody that was sorrowful, somebody that was healed, somebody that could walk himself to work every single morning, but in somebody that's life was not completely transformed. Listen, I know this lady, and she was mean as a snake. Have you ever met somebody and they were just mean as a snake? I mean, you can hear the sss when they're walking in. I mean, they are mean as a snake. This lady was in her late 70s, and she was going through an operation on her heart, and she was in the hospital on her deathbed, and the doctor said, listen, we don't think you're going to make it out. And I was her pastor from another church, and she said, would you come, would you pray for me for healing? Now, when I'm standing in front of her, and she says, Pastor, pray that I get healed. On the outside, I'm saying, yes, I'm going to pray that. On the inside, I'm praying, Jesus, take her right now. Jesus, just go ahead and take her. I mean, you need her more. Listen, we can't help her. You in heaven, the only one that can help her. Jesus, take her off the planet right now. We'll be a better planet without her. I mean, she was mean. She is spiteful. And so I prayed in spite of myself. I prayed, God, bring healing in her life. Now listen. Then I prayed, God, my friend is bitter. Would you bring healing in that area too? God, there's some unresolved issues between you and Jesus. God, would you bring healing in that area also? Because, I didn't want a more stronger version of a bitter woman, if you know what I'm saying. I mean, we didn't want to get her back up and running so she could pollute more people, if you know what I'm saying. And so there had to be an internal change, if anything. And so I just said, listen, she's fixing to die anyway. What's she going to do? Try to come run after me now? And so I just said, God, she's bitter. Heal her. God, she's angry. Heal her. God, she needs to do something in her life. God, inside her life, she needs something more. So God, heal her heart, but God, heal her heart. Heal the thing that's part of her body and heal her soul, Father, because she needs help. She was a little shocked. She was a little mad at me when I left the hospital room. She was a little, But after the surgery, she made it through the surgery. After the surgery, she was a transformed woman. She was sweet as molasses. She even made me a pie after the surgery. She even, when she got well, she made me a pie. Said, Pastor, thank you so much. Listen, her last 10 years of her life was more grateful, was more sweet, was better than the previous 70 years of her life. Because had she just been healed and not transformed, had she been healed in her heart and not transformed in her heart, she would have been the exact same woman. She'd always been, just a better version, and she needed a new life direction, and so did this man. By the way, did you know that according to rabbinic law, according to Judaic law, this guy could not even enter into the temple? Did you know that this guy, they would refuse him at the temple? The reason why he was at the gate called Beautiful was because he couldn't go beyond that point. He could never worship God. So not only was he rejected because of his physical ailment, not only was he rejected because he had no spiritual walk with God, and people would see him as somebody that was not completely converted, somebody that was not completely following after God, but also it's interesting that this guy that had gotten bitter and sorrowful suddenly is rejoicing. In fact, I want you to see for yourself, this is just crazy, crazy what happened here in verse 9. But all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. Notice what it says, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened at him. Not only were they amazed and at wonder that the guy was healed physically, they were amazed and they were blown away. They were amazed that the guy was praising God. I mean, they were amazed that the guy could walk, but they were amazed that the guy was praising God. They were amazed that this guy that never was locking eyes on anybody any longer because he had been so rejected all of his life. They were amazed that the guy that had never entered the temple one single day of his life, they were amazed that this guy not only physically was healed, but they were amazed that this guy had been transformed on the inside, that he was worshiping God. They were amazed. By the way, you say, Bruce, what happens when or if I choose to walk away from my monument that I've created? I'm choosing for that not to define my life. That period, that episode, that DUI, that divorce, that difficulty, that financial letdown, that problem, that situation, what I did in college, what I did in Indiana, what I did in Nebraska, what I did in South Florida, where I went to college in California, what happened to me in North Carolina, where I went, where I did, what I did, where I was, all those things, they're not going to define my life any longer. And I want to say, God, who have you created me to be? When you focus, when you say, God, who is it that you created me? God, why did you create me? God, why did you allow me to be born? For what purpose? For what reason? When you do that, you know what God starts doing? When you start moving into your destiny and the direction that God starts speaking to you, and He starts saying, listen, I gifted you for this reason, I'm doing this in your life for this reason. When you start showing gratitude and saying, listen, God, in spite of my circumstances, I'm thanking you, I'm praising you, you are a great God. I want you to see what happens. Notice in verse 11. In Acts chapter 3, verse 11, I want you to see for yourself what happens. Because it's interesting, in verse 8, all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms, and they were filled with wonder and amazement of what had happened to him. Notice in verse 11, though, and he clung to Peter and John, all the people utterly astounded ran together after them in the portico called Solomon's. And Peter saw it, he addressed the people. He said, men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we had made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom he delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate. He had decided to release him, but you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to him, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see, and now, in the faith that is through Jesus, has given the man his perfect health in the presence of you all. Listen, the reason why, when you choose to say, God, that will not define me, God, why have you created me? For what purpose? For what reason, God, have you made me? And God starts speaking to you of your gifting and of your calling. He starts telling you what he's called you to do with your life. And he starts speaking to you through his word and through prayer and through the congregation right here. You see an opportunity. You see a need and you say, listen, God, I want to be a part of filling that need and helping that need. And then you start saying, listen, God, I don't feel like being grateful right now, but God, by faith, I'm going to thank you for the sorrow. God, I want to thank you for the sickness. God, I want to thank you for what I'm experiencing, what you've called me to be. God, you know what happens when I start living that out? God brings people next to me to hear about Jesus. I mean, that's what happened with this guy. That's what happened with you. Because gratitude is an endangered species. Did you know that? I mean, being grateful is an endangered species. I mean, it's easy. Listen, when people are going through problems, they want to share in detail their problem, do they not? I mean, when I go through problems, I want to share with Heather in minutia of detail what they said, what I said, and what they said, and the inflection of their voice, and how their hair was colored, and how they were looking, and they looked at me like this, and they like that. I mean, I want to go through detail, and you do as well. As if all people ever want is a summary sentence. I had a bad day, and that's it. That's it. Listen, when you say, listen, that won't define me, God has called me for something else, then suddenly what happens is people go, oh, that didn't define you. And suddenly they become aware that there's a Christ that has transformed your life and you connect all the dots. Or when you start showing gratitude and you have a smile on your face in the midst of the despair, the hurt, the problems, you say, listen, that will not define me. That moment, that experience, that situation will not define me. I am trusting that God is in control of my life. God will bring people around you because it's so rare. It's so rare for people. It's so rare for people when they're going through despair and sorrow and sickness and difficulties and pain what's common is happiness. I'm going to bolt to whatever makes me happy. I'm going to bolt to whatever brings pleasure in my life. And so, you know what my go-to is? When I'm going through stress, I overeat. I always overeat. Like, I'm not stressed out today. If I was, that fried chicken in the gym ought to be scared right now, because, I mean, I'd go through plates of it. I'd go through plates of it, and I still wouldn't be, listen, I still would be, I would not be full. I would tell Heather in a couple hours, listen, let's go to Kathy's Pizza tonight. Let's go to Kathy's Pizza. You want to get a medium? No, let's get an extra large. Okay, that's my go-to. It's happiness. But listen, when I choose instead of happiness, I say, listen, that's going to end up miserable anyway. God, I'm going to choose instead to ask God, what is stress about? God, what are you teaching me? God, what are you want to instruct me through your word? God, where are you directing me in this life, in this situation? And God, also, God, I just want to thank you in the middle of this stress that you're in control. And when I connect the dots for people, guess what happens? It opens the door, and people come close to me, and Chris, they're working out with you, and they go, that's not normal, and it opens the door. Or you have a smile, that's not normal, what's up? Or guess what, you were defined by your divorce, you haven't talked about it in 2 minutes, that's not normal. Or you were defined by your last job problem, and you can't get a job because that boss will give you a good report, and that's not normal, that's not who you are, you're not serving that idol any longer, you've broken free from it, and it opens the door for other people to go, listen, if he can heal you, he can heal me. And they see you celebrating and praising God. They go, that's not normal. And it opens the door of their heart. And so it was in Acts 3. It opened the door of hundreds of people's heart. Listen, you say this one man, this one woman had that ability to open up somebody's life in such a radical way. I mean, how is it one guy that nobody even knows his name? They don't even lock eyes on him. He's just a fixture, and they've gotten so used to him. And suddenly, this guy, he starts praising God. And suddenly, hundreds come. It's because this man was a guy of gratitude, he's a man of praise. This man was a man that said, listen, that will not define me. God created me for something more. You know, on this past week, Heather was, my wife was at Starbucks, coming out of Starbucks, and saw this lady, this 20-something-year-old girl that was sitting at a table outside, and she was weeping. And she had very little clothes on, and Heather and my little girl, Gwenny, at 5, went up to her and said, hey, are you okay? I mean, obviously you're not, but are you okay? How are you doing? Complete stranger to them, and the lady said, I'm not doing okay. My boyfriend just dropped me off here, and I'm a foster kid. I grew up as a foster kid. I don't even have family, and he has all my clothes, and I don't even know what to do. I don't even know. I don't have anything. She was just weeping. Heather pulled off her sweater and put it around the girl's arms and shoulders and neck, and a little 5-year-old Gwenny just was there and just patiently waited as Heather shared with her about how Jesus had transformed Heather's life and how she could transform her life as well. And she said, do you know about Jesus? Has anybody ever told you about Jesus? And she said, no, I've heard about God, but I've never heard about Jesus. And Heather just loved on her and encouraged her, and then Gwenny gave the best witness of all. She, just as only a 5-year-old could, she looked at the lady weeping, and she said, her name was Michelle. She said, Michelle, that is a beautiful name. Michelle, you have a beautiful name.
And they just loved to turn and encourage you. He said, Bruce, how is it? How is it that doors open like that? The reason why doors open is because in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our problems, we say, listen, we will not be defined by that. We praise God that He is in control, that a person, that situation is not in control. God is in control. He defines our life. He defines our direction. And we're just grateful that God allows us to be on this planet to praise Him and to glorify Him. And when you and I do that, guess what happens? When you and I say, listen, this is the seat of gratitude. This is the seat of expectancy of what God has called me to do and what God has called me to be. And I am not who they say I am. I'm not what I did. I am who God has called me to be. It just opens doors. We see people that most people would have passed by. And God opens opportunities. And that's what God wants to do through you. In fact, God wants to open up hundreds of opportunities in the next few months for your life to love people, to encourage people, to help people in order for God to be glorified, for people to come to Christ. You see, there are no connections that are accidental. And so what we see right here is the healing on the outside, but more than that, we see the healing on the inside, and we see the gratitude and the praise and the transformation, and this guy's radically changed, and everybody else is radically changed too. You see it? This guy that people had written off can't be written off any longer because God has healed him for a purpose. God's healed you for a purpose. God's healing you for a purpose. Hey, would you pray with me right now? With your heads bowed and eyes closed, I know that there's people here that would just say, you know, when it's all said and done,